This is an old zog, an old Yiddish saying, that when you speak, you should either say a dover chorif, like a sharp, clever vort, and if it's not a dover chorif, at least let it be a ben yoima, let it be a new novel thought. So I want to put the two together tonight. I'm going to say over a well-known yisoidistic hesber that scores of svarim bring, from famous Yisoidis that are said Nagei Purim, and see if we can apply it to Yom HaKippurim, which really gets us into the issue of the expression we have that Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim, which almost sounds like that Purim is on the higher level. Yom Kippur is Kippurim, is like Purim. Purim's on the higher level. What's meant us? I mean, when we were, if I'd be saying Purim Torah, you know, when we were in Yeshiva, I think we kibitz that, you know, sometimes after a Purim, dafman habana Yom Kippur. You know, what goes on in Purim, you need a Yom Kippur. But what does it mean? Because, and I've seen Sforim have brought that Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim, that on Purim, on Yom Kippur, we're serving Hashem with our Ruchnius, on Purim, we're serving Him with our Gashmius. In one case, it's an Avoida of Yira, the other's an Avoida of Simcha. But I think the original source that really connects Purim and Yom Kippur is the Zayar. The Tikkuni Zayar, his Lashon is, Purim is named after Yom Kippurim because La'asad Lavai, Yom Kippur will be a day of Oneg like Purim is. Right now, Purim is a day of Inui, but Yom Kippur will change to a day of Oneg. Right, it's funny which, you know, what started first. Purim's called after Yom Kippurim because Yom Kippur is going to change to be the way Purim is. But the Zohar goes a step further, connecting it more than just the words Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim. They're going to be in a certain way similar. The Zohar then says that on Yom Kippur you have the Kohen Gadol fasts. On Purim, Esther fasted. Esther made the fast. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol puts on the Begadim, the Shmoneh Begadim, the four Begadim. Esther, by the Purim story, put on the Begadim. Vatilvash Esther Malchus. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes Lefnai Lefnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketoidus. On Purim, Esther went, says the Zohar, Lefnai Lefnim, using that same expression, into Achashverosh, and there the connection seems to break down. By Yom Kippur, you have the most Kaddishnik of the holiest person in the world, in the holiest place on the world, in the holiest day of the year, all coming together in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do we equate that with Esther going into the king's throne room? There she's doing it beretzoina. She becomes also to her husband, Ayadezer, Kasher Avadati Avadati. I'm now also lost to my husband, Mordechai. You know, there's an element of lack of Kedusha in her going to the king. I understand it. It's to save Klal Yisrael. But what's the connection now? What's the connection then between Purim and Yom Kippur? Esther going into the king is like the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Is there some shaychus between the kapara that we have on Purim and the kapara and the salvation that we have on Yom Kippur? So there's an old side that all the Svarim bring. You go back to it. It's the Al-Shech HaKadosh, the Akedas Yitzchak, explains many parts of Purim together. If you could start it off like this. We all know from the Gemara that on Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makdim Refuah before the Makkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up, if you read the Megillah, Mordechai had saved the king and had given the message to Esther to save the king, and it was written down, Mordechai saved the king. That was there in place. Only afterwards did the Melech elevate Haman. So we have the Refuah, Mordechai having saved the king, we have Esther in the palace, that's the Refuah before the Makkah, but really there's an even earlier Refuah before the Makkah. Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, Kidmu Shekleichem L'Shiklei Haman, give your Machs HaShekel now in the desert in advance of Haman giving his Shkolim, because seemingly by you giving the Shkolim now, you'll be able to counteract his Shkolim. And Tosfos points out that 10,000 kikros of zahav, 10,000, I guess, ingots, bars of gold, silver, not zahav, gold, 10,000 bars of silver has the exact weight of 600,000 chetzi shekel. So our machzis shekel overcame Haman's. In fact, Haman, one lashon of the Medrash is that your machzis shekel overcame my 10,000, you know, kikros of kesef. How does that work? So that's the original before kaidim lamaka. How does it work? How, by us giving machzis shekel, does that counteract Haman's? So the story they all say is that Haman can't come out of the blue. You can't have a person coming and saying, "I want to destroy Klal Yisrael." Yes, the Gemara says that there were averus that Klal Yisrael was involved, had shaychus to mipnei shenishtachavu l'tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, because they had hanah from the suda of that Russia. But even so, they wouldn't be worthy of destruction unless they had a lack of achdus. There was no shalom amongst them. There was a period within Klal Yisrael. We see this, because Gemaras tell us that Midrashim, Gemaras also say that when David would go to battle, he would have losses among his soldiers. Other kings would go to battle, there would be no losses. Why? Because Hagam, that be made, the other kings, they were serious aveiros, but there was achdus, there was shalom beinehem, and there's protection when you have shalom within your group, within your ranks. So Haman was coming with a taina. Haman was coming and saying that there's a lack of period within Klal Yisrael, that they read into the words that Haman said to the king, Yeshna amechad mefuzu mefurid bein amim. There's a nation that is spread out and scattered. So beyond what it means in the Gemara, it also says all these mefarshim are saying, implies or is telling us that Haman was saying, they're weak, their defenses are down. United we fall, but divided, united we stand, divided we fall. And now is the time to attack Klal Yisrael, because they don't have achdus. What does Esther right away go ahead and do? Esther says, Lech kanois kol ha-yehudim, gather all the Eden together, have them fast. The kanois, gathering them together, is to counteract Haman claiming that we were mefuzim or furred. And the vehicle for this is the machzis ha-shekel. As they say, it's a modna thing. Why only give a shekel, a half a shekel? You know, if you ask someone for a handout, you know, you give him a buck. You give him a whole sandwich. Why a half a sandwich? So the aside of machzis ha-shekel, the Akedah says, the Alshach says, is that it's to teach a person all you are is a chetzi, all you are is a half. The most you can contribute is half. You need the other person to require shleimus. You can only be whole with the other person. Like the words of the poet, no man is an island unto himself. We are all part of the whole. It's only through being mischaber with the other person it's only being connecting to the other, can we have shleimus. By us giving machzis ha-shekel on a yearly basis, starting in the midbar, that, you know, inculcated, that developed within ourselves this understanding, I need the other to be a shalem. I can't do it alone by myself. And therefore, when Esther says, we have a problem, kanois ha-yehudim, kanois kalim, gather the Eden together, we need to become ba'asifa achas, we're able to listen to her rallying cry and pack a get together to the point where we are able to overcome our enemies then. And that's why they say that the mitzvahs of Purim all have to do with achdus, with promoting friendship. You have Meshloach Manas, Ish L'Reyeu. It's Matanis Lev Yoinim to be Makarov, the disenfranchised in Klal Yisrael. There's a mitzvah of Sudan Purim to get together. I think I might have pressed stop on this. No, it's going weiter. Okay. So that's the pshat that all these forms say. And that's Kidmush Shiklechem, L'Shikli Haman. By us giving the Machzis HaShekel early, starting from the Midbar, we already have within ourselves this ability to become one, to unite, and therefore overcome the Tain of Haman and be victorious. Let's see how this works, if we can apply the same thing to Purim as well, Yom Kippur as well. It's an old kasha, a couple ways to ask it. A person has Ramachei Varm, B'Shasa Gidim, there are 613 body parts or components to the neshama perhaps. one connected every mitzvah, and it's that chelik of your neshama or your guf is only nourished by the performance of that mitzvah. But how can a person do that? No one has all tayyag mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs are in a yisrael that are not on a kayin, that are on a kayin, not on a levi, on a yisrael, not on a melech, on a bechor. No one has all tayyag mitzvahs. So how can a person possibly be mekayim all and fulfill and nourish all components of their guf? The other way that the question is asked is, how on Yom Kippur are we able to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we're going to be good Yidden, we're going to do what you told us to do, we're going to be Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula? I'm not able to be Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. One answer, one Hesber Sforim give is that this is the value, the greatness of Lima Torah. Gemara says in the Shalom, Pasuk says in the Shalom Parm Sfasenu, if you learn the laws of a korban, it's as if you fulfilled, you brought that korban, if you couldn't have done it any other way. And that could be why the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam because it's through Lima da Torah a person can vicariously be Mekayim every other mitzvah. It's the greatest of all the mitzvahs, it's keneged kulam because you could through Torah accomplish it. It's one mahalach. The other mahalach Sfarim say is that the way we're able to present ourselves and be zoicha bedin on Yom Kippur and say we will be good, we will do what is required of us, it is through our achdus. It is through living v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. If I truly recognize that your pain is my pain, and your success is my success, and I really care about what's going on in your life, if I view you not as a separate entity, but as another part of me that I give as much chashivas to, if I view you that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also look at Klal Yisrael, not as individuals, not as a person who's failed, who's not done this, who's not done that. He'll look at us as a tzibur and say, cumulatively, everyone's done, Klal Yisrael's done okay. One person's maybe missing a chelik of their kiyum of a mitzvah, we can borrow it, so to speak, from another person. Hashem will look at us as a group if we value ourselves and cherish ourselves as a tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can look at us the same way. This saw a day or two ago, the Marsham in Tcheles Mordechai, Rishana Rav, he even says, the Taich is the beginning of the first, second Pasuk in Vayikra. Pasuk says that Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'amarta leim Adam ki yakuv mekem korban l'Hashem. If an Adam brings a korban l'Hashem, and this is said b'loshin yachid, Adam ki yakuv mekem, one Adam brings a korban from amongst you, and then the pasuk says what you can bring the korbanos from, tikravu es korbanchem, you in the plural will offer your korbanos. What's the switch? Adam ki yakriv mekem, tikravu es korbanchem. Why are we going from a lashon yachid to a lashon rabim? So the Marsham says, and he references a zayar, he says that Adam represents Klal Yisrael when there's true achdus. Some say even that's the pshat. The Gemara says that atum kriyim adam ve'ein akum kriyim adam. That when the Torah uses the word adam, it's referring to yidden, not to goyim. This happens. Why is adam a term that's exclusively for yidden? So he brings this. I've seen it. I know the Stechemid brings this. Mestama many forms say this. That we have. There are several terms we use to describe a person, and all of them have a yochid and a rabin. There's nefesh, nefashos, gever, givorim, ish, ishim, enosh, anoshim. All the words that we have for a person all have a plural, except for the word adam. You know, we don't say adams or adamim. We say b'nei adam. Adam is a lashon yochid that applies, can describe a tzibur as well. Atum kriyam adam ve'ein akum kriyam adam, because only Klal Yisrael has this facility to become adam, to truly join and become one, to the point, says the Brejaner, that adam ki yakuv mekem korban, if it's a Klal Yisrael, if you're adam and one person brings a korban, tikruv es korbanchem, your korbanos are being brought. That what one person did, as long as we're being described as an Adam, the ultimate in Ichud, then Hashem says your korbanos in plural are being accepted, are being brought, because what one person gives, what one person does, mamish has an effect on the other person. Maybe that's this fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Hatzalah, our Hatzlach on Yom Kippur, is a product of our Achdus, of being humble enough and accepting another one into our life. That was Merumas, that's alluded to in a miracle that happened, according to some people, only on Yom Kippur. Mishnah says one of the 10 miracles in the Mikdash was Omdim Tzvufim Mishtachavim Ravachim. That when they were standing, it was so crowded that people were literally floating. People couldn't touch the floor, the short guys. When they're Omed, it's crowded. Mishtachavim, when they bend down, and you would think it becomes even more crowded, Ravachim. There's plenty of room. What's the mechanism behind that nes? The Shalach, how does that work? The Shalach Cutter says, Sinish's form, bring it also, but that Oindim, if a person stands up, he has his head up in the air, he stands bakuma zakufa, thinking he's on top of the world, then svufim, it's crowded. There's no tolerance, you're not accepting of other people. Mishtachavim, when you bow down, when you humble yourself, when you're willing there and thereby able to, willing to accept someone else into your life, then revachim, then there's plenty of room. It's on a psychological level, you know, like to paraphrase the Gemara in Bava Metzia, when there's always room, if it's someone you care about, there's always room. It's never too crowded. Mishtachavim, revachim, it's not a big deal. But Sforim say that the nes of Omdim Tzvufim and Mishtachavim Revachim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that when we lowered ourselves and thereby didn't think I'm any better than anyone else, when we came together in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem did this miracle for us of expanding things, that symbolized the nature of the greatest miracle on Yom Kippur, the miracle of Mechilas Avinus. Just like when you bend down and you allow someone else into your life and you don't think you're any more than the other person, there's room, and Hashem does miracles. That's the nature of the miracle of Kapar and Yom Kippur. If you all view yourself like this, where you've humbled yourself, you've gotten off of your high horse, and you've come together with as one, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will view us as one as well, and He'll forgive us on Yom Kippur. And this brings us to the Ketores, to the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Ketores, the way you bring out Ketores, our spices. How do you extract the aroma from spices? You pulverize it. You crush it. You break it down. You break it down into its smaller than it, you make it into tiny pieces. The finer you crush it and grind it, the more the aroma. On Yom Kippur, there was a special halacha that they would take the previously ground Ketores and re-grind it before Yom Kippur till it became a powdery mesh. It was like talc. It was powder. You can't find one piece of Ketores separate from another piece. It's all one. The Ramah, I believe, in Torah Sa'ilah says that the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketores symbolized the Achdus of Klal Yisrael that's behind him. He's going in with the Koyach of the united Klal Yisrael that's represented by the Ketores, where you can't find one shtick Ketores separate from the other. It's all become one. That is what enables there to be Mechilas Avonis to some degree. That's a chelak of our Kapara, because we've truly become one, as symbolized by the oneness of the Ketores. That's the pshat now. Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim. Esther going into the king is like the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is because just like Esther went in with the koyach of the united Klal Yisrael that's behind her, it's because we were able to rally to her cry of becoming one, k'nais kol ha'yehudim.
Therefore, this, and we were zoicha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us, and we survived. So too on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and with the Ketores, also representing the fact that there's a united Klal Yisrael. And it's united we stand, divided we would fall, but united we stand. And in both cases, I mean, the Zoyers, the last words into the Kohen Zoyers, and just like on Yom Kippur, Hashem found chen and forgave Klal Yisrael, on Purim also Hashem found chen and forgave Klal Yisrael. Once, one of my rebbeim in Neir Yisrael, Nachum Lansky, said al pizeh that it fits in that the heroes, the main figures in the whole Maisa of Purim, Mordechai and Esther, their names are merames to spices, to ketores. Mordechai, as the Gemara says, is merum is in the word mor drawer, one of the ketores, and Esther, her Hadassah, maybe her real name was Hadassah, her real name was Esther, but Esther's also Hadassah. Hadassim also, they have a fragrance, they have a smell, they use the leftover Hadassim for besamim, it's mstamim, not as geshmak as mor drawer, but in any event, they both have this quality of ketores, because both of them were able, like ketores, to bring out, to be ma'agad Klal Yisrael, and bring them to the point where they're able to be viewed and be viewed in the proper way, where there's emes and mechilas avoinus. It's Parsha Zachar also.
You know, that by Esther it seems to be a lack of kedusha. You know, I can't account. You can't in a chanan. She becomes also her husband. At the same time, but her going with mamash, those are the tikkunim zayis words. Her going with nai with him, it was with the kaya, could be with the kayak of the unity of Klal Yisrael, just like the kind of others. Are they going to be the exact same thing? No. But the Kilbash Esther Malchus is different Big Day Malchus than the kind of other war also. We're not saying that they have to be shovel to shovel, that they're exactly the same thing.
It's interesting kasha. Purim we celebrate on the 14th on Yadalid, and in a walled city like Shushan we celebrate on the 15th. Doesn't matter. Why is that? Normally, when a nation goes to war, or nations having a civil war, they're rebelling, a revolution, you celebrate the day of the victory. The day the victory occurred. That's, you know, there's VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, VJ Day. I don't know if there are any other V, you know, but I didn't remember those. But there was, that's the day, maybe that's, it's the day that they signed the, it's the day they signed the peace. It's the day they won the war, the day the battle was over and the war was won. That's not what we're doing. We're celebrating, we're memorializing Purim the day after the battle. On most cities on the 14th, after it's the day that they rested from their fight, and in Shushan it's on the 15th because they fought on the 14th and only rested on the 15th. So halo davar hu, why is Purim the day after the battle? The day after the battle is won. Might not be the thing that historically that people, nations do. If you listen to the psukim in Kiseitse, when Hashem gives you respite, when Hashem gives you rest, from all of your enemies that are around you, in the land that Hashem is giving you to inherit. So when Hashem gives you freedom or rest from all of the enemies around you, then timcha et zecher Amalek. Destroy the zecher Amalek. Now, Amalek's one of our enemies. If anything, Amalek is our archenemy. They're the archenemy. So when it says, when Hashem gives you menucha, mikol oivecha mesavit, from all the enemies around you, then destroy Amalek. Isn't Amalek included in those enemies that are around us? Now, it doesn't say, when Hashem gives you menucha from all the other enemies, then let your last fight, then timcha zecher Amalek. It doesn't say, when Hashem gives you freedom from all the other enemies. When Hashem gives you freedom or rest from all the enemies around you, destroy the Zecher Amalek. Why isn't Amalek already taken care of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us respite, mikol oivecha misaviv? Also, what are we supposed to do at that point? When all the enemies around are gone, then we're supposed to timcha as zecher amalek. What does that mean, zecher amalek? I mean, what does a zecher look like? What exactly are you supposed to go after? Why does it say zecher amalek? Why does timcha as amalek? What's zecher amalek? What does it say? Wipe out the memory of amalek. So, maybe the word is, when you all the storm talk about how when you fight Amalek, there are two parts. There are two elements to Amalek. There's the people of Amalek. There's the person of Amalek. The nation of Amalek that has this sinner towards Kavi Yochel and towards Klal Yisrael. But then there's, I don't know what the words are, then there's the Amalek within each and every one of us. There's the Hashbah that we've gotten from Amalek. And all the storm. Sforn talk about there's the person of Amalek and then there's the Amalek within. What do you have to destroy first? We have to get rid of both of them, obviously. It's not enough just to kill the outside. You've got to be masakin yourselves. What do you do first? Do you first kill the people of Amalek and then work on the internal battle? Or you cleanse yourself, you masakin yourself, and then you get rid of the people of Amalek. So I think it's poshut that you first have to get rid of the people of Amalek, the external enemy, before you work on yourselves. Because if you're just going to be masakin yourself and you're going to change and Amalek is shrek, is foo, is no good, Amalek, I'm against Amalek, and I'm going to, but the contagion is still out there to reinfect us. We could become mushba again. What you have to do is first get rid of the people of Amalek, and after the people of Amalek, the external enemy is gone, then I can work on the internal enemy. I can work on cleansing myself. I can be masakin myself. I can get rid of the Yetzahara Mibifnim, the chalak that's inside of me. Psukim now. V'hoyah b'hiniach Hashem alokech alokho. When Hashem gives you rest, mikol oivecha misaviv. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you menucha from all the enemies around you that are outside of you, the external enemies. And Avada, that includes Amalek. They're the greatest of all of our enemies. We'll see they're the source of all of our enemies. So when you've been given rest from all the enemies misaviv, then, and only then, can you timcha as zecher Amalek. Get rid of the zecher of Amalek. The memory, the lingering effects that Amalek has had within you. It's only once the person, the people of Amalek, the external enemy is taken care of, can you be misakin yourselves and work on the inner struggle, the greatest battle that a person has, the battle within himself. That could be the pshat. Why Purim is the day after the battle. Purim, our Zikaron, is on the Yom Hanocha, on the day of rest. Because on the 13th of Purim, that's when we fought the people of Amalek. And Shushan, we fought them as well on the 14th of Adar. It's only the day after, on Purim, on the 14th, or in Shushan on the 15th, when the enemy is vanquished, the enemy Misaviv is gone, then I can go ahead and take stock of myself and make a cheshbon and nefesh and see where I've made concessions, see the impact that the Yetzirah, that the Amalek has had within me, and work on that internal enemy. So that's why the ikr and the zecher for Purim and the prime thing isn't just killing the people of Amalek, but once they're gone, then you have to do the internal battle. Maybe could use this same shot to answer a kasha that Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz has.
Well, we're imagining it all the way around. Because you can't find energy in the fifth column inside. You have to first cleanse, you have to purge yourself, otherwise you're going to stab in the back.
And
it affects
you, I guess.
You know what the other guy is saying? See the way?
Can I prove? I mean, it's... I hear what you're saying. When you spoke out last time, I did make a mistake with the Rebbe of Herschel. It was the Mamre Premjlan. But I don't know if this is a mistake. I know that was my idea, that you have to first get rid of the external enemy, and only then can you work on your. You know, Yeah, you have to have some clarity inside in order to make the decision, and some strength, inside to make a decision to go and fight the external enemy. Yes, you have to have, you know, to, you have to push him away a little bit. But to some extent, you know, but, okay. We'll, Thursday night, we'll dingzach about it, okay? We'll be here. We'll talk it over. I'm sure we'll come up with some better terutzim. But you find kamat, the same lashon, in the pasuk in Re'eh. The pasuk says, Va'avartem aseyardein, v'yishavtem ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokeichem manchil eschem. You'll come into the land that Hashem gives you as an inheritance. V'heiniach lachem mikol oyveichem misaviv. Hashem will give you rest. He will give you rest mikol oyveichem misaviv, from all your enemies around you. V'yishavtem betach, and you will dwell securely. So Bionis and Ivershitz points out that there seem to be two brachas over here. Number one, Hashem will give you rest from all of your external enemies, from all the enemies, Mesaviv, Mamash, our words in Kiseitse, V'yishavtem betach, and you'll dwell securely. It's unnecessary, seemingly. If we've been given, if we have menucha, if our external enemies are gone, what are avada? I'm dwelling securely. I have nothing to worry about. If it would say, and you will dwell securely, avada must mean our external and our enemies are gone. What do you need both components? So Bionis and Ivershitz says that it's not enough just to go ahead and get rid of the external enemy. Because after the external enemy is gone, what is the expression? Politics makes strange bedfellows. Sometimes when you have a common enemy, people who otherwise don't get along together will come together. We have a common purpose. You know, we have to repel this ex, this other person. But once that person is gone, once that common enemy is gone, then we might go back to our own squabbles, our own machlaikas, our own petty grievances one to the other. Says Abinus, and it's in Tiferes, it's Yainasin, that first there's a bracha, Hashem will give you rest, mikolei vechem misaviv, all your enemies around you. Now that those enemies around you are gone, now you got another problem to worry about. You're going to get back to your own, you know, lack of achdus, the own machlaikas you'll have within yourselves, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mavtiachos, v'yishavtem betach. Don't worry, those petty grievances and machloiksen will fall away also. Maybe if you could apply the same idea, you could say the same thing over here. Number one, you have to have menucha mikolei veichem misaviv. All the external enemies are gone. But the external enemy being eradicated isn't enough. You still have to heal, you have to recover, you have to cleanse yourself and fix yourself up from the hashpa that has been, from the evil that has been done to you. Only after that will you dwell peacefully, will you dwell securely. One more thing I would like to say, and I'm going to say this, start it off, that I'm going to say that I had a chaver 30 years ago in Ner Yisrael, chaver of mine, David Menachem Brown, who was killed on Purim. He died in an accident Purim night 30 years ago. It'll be this Purim night, and we were learning Megillah to make a siyum. We were planning on making a siyum after Megillah laning and after some collecting. We were going to go finish the Masechta. We had learned the Agadatas. And he was killed in an accident. So a week or two before we finished, we were going over the Agadatas before Purim, and we came up with the following pshatim. Gemara says, so let's be the chusfer nishmasai. Word staves. The Gemara says, pasuk says, "Vanu be'eshu b'mayim v'totzeinu l'revaya." We went into fire and water, and we came out l'revaya. What does revaya mean? Salvation? Oh. Anyone know? And we came out to salvation.
Says the Gemara, Banu be'esh, we went into fire when, that's b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. B'mayim, we went into water, b'mei Paroi. V'totzi'en el revoya, b'mei Mordechai ve'Esther. And Rashi explains, in Nebuchadnezzar's time, we were thrown into fire. That's Hananiah, Mishael, ve'Azariah being thrown into Kibshon Eish. We went into water, b'mei Paroi, that's Kol HaBen HaYilad HaYor Tashilichuhu. So we're having problems in Haman's time, in Nebuchadnezzar's time, we're having problems in Paro's time, but Totzi'enu L'Revayim, he brought us out to salvation in the days of Mordechai and Esther. What seems funny is, in the days of Mordechai and Esther, we were saved from the problems of Mordechai, in the day that happened in those days. We were saved from Achashverosh, we were saved from Haman, because we had our own problems then. We were saved in the days of Mordechai and Esther. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, we had problems then, and we were saved from those problems. When we were in Mitzrayim with Paro, we had our problems then, and we were saved from those problems. The Gemara seems to be saying that we were only saved from the Asian Mayim of Paro and of Nebuchadnezzar and Paro, hundreds of years later, b'mei Mordechai ve'Esther. But that seemingly is not true. B'mei Mordechai ve'Esther, we had our own problems and we came out of, with salvation. In the days of Haman, Paro and Nebuchadnezzar, we had those problems and were saved. What's the flow in the Gemara? How could it be that b'mei Mordechai ve'Esther, we were nitzel from the Eish and Mayim of Paro and of Nebuchadnezzar and Paro? So one shot we were thinking of is that all the Sfarim talk about Amalek, how Amalek is the arch enemy, Reishis Goyim Amalek. And Sfarim are Masbir, they give a mashal that all the sin, all the hisnagnus, all the anger and hostility at Kaviyachol and at Klal Yisrael, that any nation has, all comes from the little bit of Amalek that is contained within them. They give a mashal that Amalek is the tree, and the tree has branches. So each one of the Umay Sa'ilam is a branch on the tree that is Amalek. So Amalek is the source of everything. That's the case, that Amalek is the source of every nation's hostility towards Kaviyachol and us. That means that when Paro comes against us, when the Mitzrayim comes against us, they're coming against us with a little bit of Amalek that's within Mitzrayim. When Bavel comes against us, they're coming against us with a little bit of Amalek that they contain. When Amalek comes against us, when Ahaman comes against us, it's Bechlal Messiah Mana. They're bringing to bear more than what was brought before, everything that was brought before, because the other nations have only a chalik of Amalek, so when Amalek comes, it's everything. And I should have started off with one more kasha. Megillah says, Vayavar Mordechai, that Mordechai was Mavir. He pushed off that year the mitzvah of Matzah, Mor, Darabanan. He pushed off the mitzvahs. We had Tainus Esther going through part of Pesach, the first days of Pesach. Kasha is, why did we need to have the fast then? Why be Mavato, the schus of the mitzvah deraisa of Matzah? The Gezeirah of Haman wasn't going to be for another 13 months, a full 13 months. So have Tainus Esther after Purim. What is it that you have to be Mevatel, the mitzvah of Pesach? Have Tainus Esther after Pesach. Why did you have to get rid of Pesach? You have to push off Pesach that year. So the suggestion was that, again, with Amalek, when Amalek comes, Amalek's coming with everything that every other nation has. Therefore, Mordechai b'chachmasai, he understood that when, that's the pshat, that we went into fire, when Mordechai, when Haman comes against us, Paro comes with what Paro has, the little Amalek. The Nebuchadnezzar comes with the little Amalek he has. But when Haman comes, when Amalek comes, you've got all of Amalek combined. Therefore, Mordechai understood, we can't have a Pesach now. How can we have a Pesach? Because the same Choshech, the same Golos that existed then, in the time of Paro, is back now. We're living in that only worse, to a worse degree. That's the pshat in the Gemara. We went into fire and water and we came out to salvation. We went into fire in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. We went into war in the days of Pari, and we came out to salvation in the days of Mordechai and Esther. In the days of Mordechai and Esther, we also, in another sense, were saved from the problems of Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. Because when Haman comes and attacks us, he's bringing to bear all the loads that Haman, that Pharaoh brought or Nebuchadnezzar brought. But there was a second pshat. That pshat we worked out together. But there's another pshat, there's another nice pshat that this David Menachem Brown said. It's printed actually in a sefer, the Zichroi. Pshat is again the Gemara says, "Banu, we went into fire and water and we came out saved. We went into fire bimei Nebuchadnezzar. We went into water bimei power and we came out saved bimei Mordechai veEsther." Medrash and Pekudei says different. The Medrash and Pekudei says, "Banu beEish haMamayim, we deserve to go into Gehenim, which is Chetzi Eish and Chetzi Borod. Gehenim is fire and ice, Eish and Borod. So Banu beEish haMamayim, we deserve to go into Gehenim, which is half water, half fire, half ice, water. The Titzianu Ravaya al Yedei our Asik and Torah and our Asik and Karbanos." So the two, the Medrash and the Gemara seem not to shtim whatsoever. Gemara is talking about, oh, we had Soros from Paroi, from the Nebuchadnezzar, and we were saved in the days of Mordechai Vester. The Medrash seems to be saying, we deserve to go into fire and ice, and we were saved al yedei our Asik and Torah and our Asik and Karbanos. The Gemara is talking about Zmanim in history. The Medrash is talking about, I guess, Chatoyim and Zchusim that we had. How do the two fit together? So he said, maybe they're really both saying the same thing. That they're the flip side of the same coin. When the Gemara says we deserve to, when the Gemara says we deserve to go into fire and water, we deserve to go into Gehenim, as per the Medrash, that's what the Gemara means. We went into fire and water, bimei power Nebuchadnezzar. Because bimei power Nebuchadnezzar, there were chatoyim. Bimei power, there was haloloi devanzar, bahaloloi devanzar. Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, we had mipnei manas chayvus, sananshu sol, boisador kloyer, mipnei shenishtacha, v'litzelim of Nebuchadnezzar. There was avaydazara bimei paroi. There was avaydazara bimei Nebuchadnezzar. And that warranted us to go into Golus. It's Bimei Mordechai veEsther, that's where we had the Yeshua from that. Because Bimei Mordechai veEsther, that's when we had a new Hisaskus, a new involvement in Torah and Karbanos. We had a new involvement in Torah in terms of Kimu veKiblu, that Klai Yisrael re-accepted the Torah in a different degree, they accepted Ma'ava, and there was also a new involvement of Karbanos. I mean, I could refer to the Gemara that says that Mordechai was teaching the Talmidim the halachas of Kemitza, but it's at the time of the day, it's in the days of Mordechai the Esther, that's when Daryovish was conceived. That's where Esther became pregnant with his son, who's the one who ultimately let us rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash and the Gemara are not being chaylik. The Medrash is saying there were things going on in the, they're both talking about, one's talking about times in history where there were problems. The Gemara says it's Bimei Nebuchadnezzar and Paroi, there were problems. Oh, that warrants us to go into fire and water, says the Medrash. And the Yeshua, the Hatzlacha was Bimei Mordechai veEsther, when as per the Medrash, oh, that's when we had a new involvement, a new Asik in Torah and a new Asik in Karbanos. And it's through that we were Zaycha to be Matzliach. And I didn't...